This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah!
A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Schefter on the McAfee Squawk Box there yesterday.
Yeah, a lot going on. A lot of voices.
My God.
A lot of hemming and hawing.
Not enough voices and noises.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
They got there, though.
Got a few bells and whistles in there.
They landed the plane eventually.
Apparently it won't preclude the Bengals from trading or tagging and trading T. Higgins, but the Patriots are out. Again, The Athletic reporting this morning, Chad Graff. What'd you call him, Keith?
Chad Kraft. He's had the ear and or...
No.
He's had quite a few Kraft stories.
He's got hooks into ownership. There's no doubt about that. Chad Kraft.
Yeah.
New England's blueprint for the offseason does not include pursuing Higgins, the number one free agent to be on the Athletic's top 150 big board. As the Patriots are reshaped in Vrabel's likeness, they want to prioritize building through the offensive and defensive lines and will make that the number one goal this offseason. They don't think Higgins is worth $30 million plus a year.
You know,
too injury prone. Yeah. Hasn't been a number one.
I think you're also going to have to give up a pick, which you desperately need.
True.
I don't think you're in the market right now to be giving up first round picks. And if you were, it'd be for more of a short thing, like a Miles Garrett.
You think he costs you a first round pick?
Well, the different franchise tag rules, you might have to do a first round pick.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess if you get to the point where you can kind of...
I think Schefter was asked later on in that same exchange with the whole McAfee crew there.
You could haggle.
Well, that's basically what Schefter said. It's like, yeah, there are rules in the CBA, or at least in the old CBA. I'd have to refresh my memory on the new one. But
now maybe for...
basically, the teams can agree on whatever compensation they want.
Well, I bet it would be the Patriots wouldn't give up number four.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe they'd have to give up their number two or
whatever,
next year's
one
or something like that.
Could be a future one, yeah.
You know, whereas I think another team, if they were trading for Higgins and they were picking in the 20s, they would take that. And I think that team would also give it up. I mean, Steph Diggs was really good in Minnesota, but he wasn't Buffalo good yet. Like, he was solid, and he might have also been their number two. I mean,
right.
You go back and forth between he and Thielen.
Was he a pure number one
there
in Minnesota?
There was question marks.
No. Yeah.
And then he went for a first-round pick, and then he dominated. And I think other teams have seen other guys go for first-round picks, whether it was A.J. Brown or, You know, and A.J. Brown was really, really good in Tennessee, but he's even taken another step forward.
Tyreek went for a first-round pick, didn't
he? Sure did.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
So that's another one.
Guys go for first-round picks.
So the Patriots are out on T. Higgins. Adam Schefter is surmising he could be tagged and traded. We'll see ultimately who's in charge of the Patriots. Elliot Wolf says it's his final say. And are the Patriots going to spend? The instructive thing to me for Higgins, yeah, they're going to be out at $30 million a year on Higgins. And draft compensation, as you point out. So what does that mean for the other free agents? Are they going to spend or are they not going to spend?
Well, so that's what's scary.
Higgins makes me think, if they're drawing a line in the sand at $30 million a year, it makes me think they're going to not cannonball into the upper echelon of free agency. Whoever's out there and available, maybe there won't be a lot of premium names, but they're not going to cannonball in. They've like already resigned themselves to pivoting off of plan A and going to plan B and C and,
yeah, and
going with that mid-tier free agent class.
And this is just me reading into it, but I'm hoping because he's not a traditional free agent that maybe that's what's really pushed them
hopefully
away. Hopefully. That's what, well, I don't know. I'm just, that is the hope. So like Chris Godwin, for example, obviously there's some injuries there with Godwin, a little bit older than T. Higgins, but if you're not giving up draft picks and you're just spending the money, like, it'd be much more damning if you hear, oh, they're out on that. Like, they won't give him $25 million. It's like, well, then who are you going to spend money on? T. Higgins, I know a lot of people are like, well, he's the number two. He's the number two to the best or second best receiver in football.
True.
So,
but that means that guy across from him is getting a lot of attention.
Definitely.
I have seen the numbers.
Texter points out he's good when he's not playing. But when Chase is not playing.
Yeah. But Higgins also misses a lot of time. And my recollection is a lot of that came in one game. Not that it doesn't count. But
it still counts. Put it on the board.
Higgins, in his limited time, I think it's like five games, okay, has performed in those games.
All right, so how about this, though?
I need to see more than that.
Whether you love, like, or hate T. Higgins, he's pretty much unanimously regarded as the top free agent.
Oh, yeah.
No, so, no, right,
that,
so
that's
even
definitely
if you,
true.
So
yeah,
even if you hate him, who do you like who's a free agent more than him?
Nobody.
Nobody. That's what I'm saying. So, like, I think anytime
it's,
you get somebody
really
like
not
that,
close. You like Godwin more than me.
I do like Godwin.
I don't think those two are close.
I don't like Godwin more than Higgins.
Right.
Now, the idea that you just have to pay him rather than giving up a pick, I could see why for a team it makes more sense. But you look at the top 10 free agents, and you're like, those guys are probably all worth X, but you're going to have to spend 2-3X to get them in. And that's a lot, and I just don't know if the Patriots are going to be willing to do that. That's great. You want to build it in the trenches. Are you going to spend money in the trenches, or are you going to
right.
get Chuks Okorafor for and the next whatever?
How are you
going to
build in the trenches? Are you building with, you know, Alaric Jackson, the tackle from the Rams, and Josh Sweat? Or are you going, are you going steps below that? And if you are, then is that really building through the trenches?
But like, if they trade for Jeffrey Simmons, whose name has been out there before, connections to Vrabel, and let's go crazy. They trade the number 4 pick for Myles Garrett, and they add a big-time lineman. You're like, wow. That's what they said they were going to do. They did it. Yeah, I would love a receiver at some point, but you can't get, you know, 53 new guys at once.
A couple of things here on the text line. One on the text line, one on the Twitch chat.
Right.
Text line says, hey, Jones, you were upset last year when they didn't sign Calvin Ridley. How'd that work out? I think Ridley was better than even I thought a year ago. He wasn't maybe worth his contract, quote unquote.
Well, he would have been the best receiver on this team.
Still had 1,000 yards last year with schmucky Will Levis. So, like, I don't know. Like, he still has had 1,000 yards in 3 out of the last 4 seasons. I'd still rather have him on the team than the group they had last year.
Yeah.
But
so you're right. Them saving money really helped.
Yeah, he probably wasn't worth his contract.
Them being dead last in cash spending obviously was a huge coup for them.
And like 1,000 yards is not what it used to be in the NFL.
No.
There's so much more throwing. There's an extra game. But he still had 1,000 yards. He wasn't a disaster last year. He probably wasn't worth his contract, but he wasn't a disaster.
No. Do you know how many guys had 1,000 yards last year receiving?
No.
24.
There you go.
So it's not a small number, but it still averages out to be less than one
team. I think when we were talking about Calvin Ridley last year, we're like, yeah, he's probably a top 20 receiver in the league. So he was 24th, or he was 24 with 1,000 yards.
He was 21st.
Yeah.
He was 21st.
That's about where I'd expect Calvin Ridley to finish in all actuality. And that was with horrendous quarterback play.
Yeah, it was.
So,
yeah, it was.
You know, you'd like to think Drake May would get more out of him. Also, this one, Twitch chat, Free Mandela. Jones, they're not trading a draft pick and paying someone $30 million. That would be moronic.
How about this? What if that player's Myles Garrett? Is that still moronic?
Well,
or is that
what
genius?
What if that player is DK Metcalf?
Or is that maybe the smartest thing you've ever done?
So what if that player is DK Metcalf?
I'm less likely to do it on DK Metcalf.
Okay, but I guess my
point
is, I'm
not sure the number 4 pick.
No. Not the number 4.
Oh, no. He just said a draft pick.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
never
yeah.
mind. No, that's the cost of doing business. Do you want elite players or no?
And you can look at Metcalf's contract right now and say, Metcalf doesn't make $30 million a year, I don't think.
Not yet.
No, he's got part of the reason Seattle's moving him is he wants a new deal. So, you know, would you trade a pick and give George Pickens $30 million? Would you trade a pick and give Olave I probably wouldn't give him $30 million. DK Metcalf, like, I don't think in a vacuum that's an issue. And I don't think that's an issue with T. Higgins either. I would give him the $30 million. Like, I think he's going to make more than $30 million. So I would give him the money. He just wasn't at the top of my list. I know he was at the top of a lot of your list. We've heard the name T. Higgins for two straight years.
Yeah.
And so I would just disagree with the people who had him at the top of their list, and now they're like, oh, no big deal.
No.
Meanwhile, the Patriots have given the go-ahead to Devon Godchow.
Friend of the show.
You're right. Friend of the show. Actually,
talking about his YouTube channel.
Very, very chatty and maybe a little too chatty last year. Throwing teammates under the bus.
A little peek behind the curtain. Devon Godchow and Kendrick Bourne were great guests with us. We were like, we like these guys. We'd like to have them again. We never heard from them again.
Make sure you subscribe to the Hashtag Dork
Podcast. We're like, you know what? Let's not mess around with all these other guests. How about Godchow and Kendrick Bourne every week? And they're like, how about never again?
Which, you know what's funny is, like, Bill Belichick would usually get blamed for stuff like that. Uh-huh. He had nothing to do with that. So that's still somewhere in the team where they're like,
oh, guys, that was fun.
Yeah, they're like, never
it
again.
It was, Kendrick.
That was fun, Kendrick. Never go on there again.
Crick, I would never heard from him ever again.
No.
No, but Godchow, which was a Bill signing from a couple of years ago, and then it was a Elliott Wolf re-sign, right? Because didn't he get upset about his contract because everything was going on with Barmore last year?
In fact, didn't he got it.
Oh, and Judon, too.
He got it after Judon stamped his feet and got sent out of town, which actually was a good Wolf move. I didn't like
good
that
move.
At the time.
You're right.
But that was a good move for the Wolfpack. Godchow got his money after that. But Godchow has been given permission to seek a trade. Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, all the best to you. Shout out to the Hashtag Dork Podcast and everything else. We like Chow Talk, but good luck on that trade. There's been contact with interested teams, Rap Sheet writes, when he wasn't getting yelled at by Jordan Schultz. And the veteran is likely on the move. We'll get to it. And the veteran is likely on the move given the team's defensive scheme shift. So he might not be a scheme fit. I go back to something Curran said weeks ago. Do you remember this, Keith? Curran's like, yeah, I'd shop Ramondre Stevenson, and I'd shop Devon Godchow. So now it's like, oh, Godchow's been given permission to seek a trade. Curran might have heard something a couple of weeks ago. So now my antenna's up.
Yeah.
Do you remember the third name he mentioned? It was
Ramondre?
Godchow. Do you remember who it was?
Joe Milton.
Barmore.
Christian Barmore.
So those were
just get rid of the D-line? That means Jeffrey Simmons is coming in.
Well, maybe. And maybe Barmore is not a scheme fit. Or maybe
Simmons and Harold Landry come on down.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Maybe.
Harold Landry was given permission to seek a trade in
then
Tennessee.
Then we'll know who's calling the shots. Because I also, going back to who's calling the shots.
If they bring in Landry and Simmons, I won't be worried about Wolf anymore.
No. But right now, it seems like, in my humble opinion, Kraft picked the offensive coordinator, Vrabel picked the defensive coordinator, and Wolf picked the special teams coordinator. Like, they each have a guy. Now you can argue over the importance of each one and, like, the significance of each one. But that's where we're at. As far as players coming in, some will be more obvious to tell than others.
Yep.
Right? Like, if a bunch of these Titans come flying in here, or guys that Vrabel has just been linked with. I mean, hell, he was in Cleveland last year, and even though we kind of roll our eyes because they were so bad, like, what was he really doing in Cleveland? They get Myles Garrett. I would say that's much more of a Vrabel thing than it is a Elliott Wolf thing.
Although, was Wolf there when they drafted Garrett in Cleveland?
Good question.
Maybe. So I have to dig into that. Cross that bridge when we get there. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm wondering. Is Vrabel getting rid of the problems? Like, the problems on the team? How was Ramondre behind the scenes last year? How was Godchow on the air was like, yeah, our teammates are selfish and they're freelancing.
Well, then you better get rid of Jelani Tavai and all of the wide receivers.
Good point. But, like, my antenna's now up about Barmore. Because Curran said Godchow, yep. Stevenson, Barmore. And already Godchow's been permission to seek a trade or given permission to seek a trade. So let's see where that one goes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was the voice of Patriots owner Robert Kraft at the owners' meetings last year when he apparently was caught off guard by the NFLPA survey and the results, which were not very favorable for the Foxborough football squad, his team, his organization. And guess what?
And him specifically,
certainly Ted Johnson. The NFLPA survey is out yet again, and it's time now on WEEI Afternoons to really dig into it and... The deeper you dig, the uglier it is. Stiz, superfan Stiz, I'll be interested to get your reaction when we break down some of these numbers and what's going on in Foxborough and Gillette Stadium. But Fitzy, just let's set the table here. How many teams are in the NFL?
There are still to date, 32.
Okay, darn it. They need to do that European expansion so that when the Patriots' ranking of 31st comes in, it's not as close to the bottom.
Who finished beneath them?
That's a Dan Ball question.
It's about 3.5 hours away from here, Fitzy. They wear green and white.
The Jets?
No, according to Dan Ball.
Oh, I thought it was the Jets.
32 out of 32 overall. Congratulations to the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, my bad. Overall. Gotcha.
Oh.
No, the Jets are 32nd in a very specific category, which we'll get to.
Gotcha. All right. Fine.
Which is team morale?
You'll see.
The Patriots are 31st, and we'll go through some of the various categories here that the players vote on. And one that got a lot of attention a year ago was the treatment of families and daycare and that aspect of things. Well, good news. That is now the highest area the Patriots are ranked in. They got a C+, which is not great, but not terrible. It's better than an F that I believe they received a year ago. And they're up to 18th in the league in treatment of families. So Robert said it was easy. They put a little attention there, and boom. They're moving on up the rankings. I wouldn't brag about 18th quite yet, but it is what it is.
Probably had a room full of just like, you know, vegetable and fruit pouches and left Bluey on all the time.
Well, I mean, all they got to do really, like they do a few good things down there that are simple. Their cookies are great. Their chicken fingers are great. Leave a big old tray of cookies and a big old tray of chicken fingers.
Not for kids.
Nice step.
Yeah.
Hey, you may want to have adult supervision.
Babysitters, too.
Well, no, I know. There's babysitters. Yeah. You might not want to have the food in the hallway. For years, they had the families in the hallway right outside the locker room.
I'm surprised. Like my generation, we didn't expect the team to provide daycare for us.
A different era.
Very different era.
Different era.
Who's the babysitter over there?
Robin Glazier.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Oh, Stiz. That's a cheap shot. Well played.
Yeah, but we all laughed.
Okay, so the next highest area, I guess, would be the locker room, where they get a C-, but they come in at 22nd. I think the locker room's fine. Is it a little dated? I mean, So the one thing I've heard here is a lot of people say, and you bring this up sort of what you just commented on. You know, you got kids coming from LSU and all these places.
Yeah.
But you're never going to measure up. They go crazy in college football. Who was the one that put in the slide? There was a two-level facility, and there was a big slide you slid down. Like, part of it used to be recruiting. Before it was NIL,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Kids were wowed by this stuff. Yeah. Oh, there's a TV in my locker. Oh, my God, there's a leather recliner in my locker and all of those things. You can't. You're not going to win that game, and I don't think you should even try.
Really?
Just have a really nice locker room.
Okay, you're not trying to recruit players, free agents, to come to your team?
Yeah, and you know what I think recruits them? Actually, what recruits college players now, the same thing.
Money.
Chut and chin.
I get it, but
not a leather locker.
But it doesn't.
Actual cash.
It doesn't hurt to have a really nice locker, too.
You need a little bit of, what do they call it in curb appeal? You need curb appeal in the locker room.
Yep.
But you need to do it on a realistic budget. Because I think if you put $20 million into your locker room, as opposed to offering T. Higgins $20 million more, it's money not well spent.
Have you ever seen Green Bay Packers locker room?
I'm going to say no.
I haven't been there.
If you've ever seen it, you would look at the Patriots locker room and you go, oh, I see what the players are talking about.
Yeah, and I just...
Oh, is Green Bay's that nice? Because
it's
Andy
ridiculous.
Got me thinking, like, with all talking Ted about the college ones, like, imagine coming from Alabama or Oregon and then going to the Patriots locker room being like...
You can't.
What happened?
It's a very average locker room. Very average.
I would say, in general, my feeling of Gillette Stadium and the facilities forever have been...
One big average.
Yeah, and some below average. You know, some started out as average.
Yeah.
But then if you're average for like 10 years, well, you fell below average because other people upgraded and redid some things.
It's a quarter century old now.
We know why, guys.
And other teams are blowing theirs up.
I
got to
point that out real quick. What? Do we know why everything's very average? It was the largest privately funded stadium built in the NFL.
But that's a little bit of an excuse.
Good point.
That was... nine Super Bowls ago, six Super Bowl wins ago.
Yeah. I'm not trying to use it.
No, but that was the excuse in 2002 when it was opened.
What's the excuse now?
I believe when I look at the Forbes list, the Patriots are one of the top franchises, not just in the NFL, value-wise. But in all of football. Yeah. Robert's got $11 billion, right? Like, different time.
It must be in the airplane. They must have put the money in the
airplane. It goes in his $11 billion ranking, moving. That's where he ranks high on the Forbes list of billionaires because he has the money.
I've got news for you on the airplane, Ted.
Smoke him if you got him.
Oh, you want to do that? Team travel.
Smoke him if you got him.
Team travel. F. 31st. Wait, I thought they have aircraft one. They have their own planes.
Mm-hmm.
First class, first rate, top notch.
Yeah. It's the planes that have ashtrays in the back of the seats.
What if people want to smoke?
Smoke them if you got them, boys. Yeah, dude.
What if they want to, dabble in the recovery smoke?
Just so if people haven't figured out why I'm bringing that up, it literally is an airplane from 40 years ago when you were allowed to smoke on an airplane.
Yeah.
They're literally in a 40-year-old airplane.
You know who would have loved that? The late, great Gil Santos. That would have been nicely for him.
Sorry, Stiz, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dan.
I heard it was great for coaches playing cards in the back of
that. That's a cheap shot.
You know what?
Too soon.
Obviously, the coach paid his bets because he was ranked one of the highest.
Yeah,
the
head coach was a B+. He ranked 24th.
The head coach got the highest rating of all of the categories.
Yeah.
Was the coach that got fired 2 months ago.
Is it still the same plane, though? When's the last time you were on that plane, Ted?
Oh, no, it's the same plane.
Is it?
When Ted did it, they were they did charters. They bought the planes, was that 6 years ago now, 8 years ago? I don't even know when it was.
That's when they went to the
pair of aircraft ones with the Patriots logo that they then charter out, allow other organizations to use, whatever. But the complaints were from the players, there's ashtrays and there's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they bought a retrofit air. Now, this happens a lot when you have upstart discount airlines that fly out of smaller airports or like get a bay at Logan or something like that. That's fine. As long as it actually, gets from A to B with reasonable safety and certainty, Ted. But on an air, like right now in the modern NFL, these guys would expect to be able to at least, I don't know, download game film, play Candy Crush or just, watch MacGruber after you got a concussion with your head coach, as opposed to sitting there just going like, Hey, anyone got any Parliament Light 100s?
Well, that's why they play cards.
You look at the banners, you go six world champions. They must just first class all the way around here. Bologna sandwiches, we'll get to.
To your bologna sandwiches. Okay, so the worst grade, where if you wanted to have a good football team, In fact, if I'm not wrong, I believe the prior head coach, Gerard Mayo, in his opening press conference, said a team starts in a certain building, a certain room in the building.
Let me,
Ted, I bet you like that room. What is it?
Andy, is it the weight room?
It's indeed the weight room. Mm. They got an F, 32nd. It's the only thing they ranked dead last in. And they upgraded the weight room a few years ago.
Did they?
It's not the original weight room from, because they actually took the media workroom. I know because, you know, they bumped us to a different room and expanded it a little bit. It's still not very big, not very impressive. And now they are building, as Stiz brought up, this new $50 million building, training center, whatever. Yes, Stiz.
We've had a plan, and we put in place, we're committing a whole new facility adjacent to ours that has been discussed with the young leadership team of a building that will be in excess of $50 million.
Okay,
that was last year.
I've been cynically
told,
yeah, they're building a $50 million building to compete with $200 million buildings and $300 million buildings. Right. Like, yeah,
it'll be obsolete in a year.
Yeah, you're getting better. It'll be nicer than what you have. The weight room will be bigger. You know, I even heard Chris Long and Drake May bitch about there's no windows in any of the rooms. Like, that'll change. You'll probably have windows in the weight room. There'll be glass, all that. But for $50 million, where colleges probably sneeze out $50 million expansions and upgrades to their facility. So I'm not sure they're going to get their curb appeal bang for their buck. Other areas that I think are, you know, I guess it is good that the strength coach gets a B because you kept him around. That's Daron Mayo. He was here with Gerard Mayo, and he's still around now with Mike.
The strength and training faculty and the nutrition diet people got the highest marks. Those are the two highest marks but from the players, were the strength staff and the nutrition staff. Yeah.
So other areas. So all of this falls under the umbrella of who, Fitzy? Who makes all these decisions? What is that name or that group?
I would feel like that would fall under ownership.
Ownership. Let's see how they did. Oh. They got a D. Oh. They rank 29th. And so I say they because I think we've reached the point where we say Crafts, we say Robert and Jonathan. We tend to pair them up. We play the audio of Robert being caught off guard last year. But let's read what ownership, the summary here that we had from the NFL PA report card. They got a D. They are 29th out of 32 teams. Owner Robert Kraft's average rating for perceived willingness to invest in facilities is 6.15 out of 10 from the Patriots players, a ranking of 28 out of 32 owners in the league. The players feel that Kraft slightly contributes to a positive team culture, a rank of 30 out of 32, slightly, I guess, is very accurate. The players feel that Kraft is somewhat committed to building a competitive team, a rank of 30 out of 32 owners. Ted, during your heyday, wasn't Robert Kraft seen as, like, number one? Like, the preeminent owner in the National Football League?
He was. Because of his forward thinking when it comes to marketing and making money outside of just ticket sales.
Did you think you had a good owner when you played?
Absolutely.
So you would have voted higher than 29th, 30th, 30th, whatever, for Robert Kraft.
Correct.
And now he is overall ranked 29th, and in a bunch of categories ranked 30 out of 32.
I'd be curious to see how players voted for their owners versus cash spent on player salaries.
Ah, so you're saying you guys are pretty simple. Pay me and I'll like you.
Correct.
You can buy my allegiance. You can buy my
votes. I don't care
what
the weight room looks like. I don't care what the airplane is. As long as you give me a good and above market salary, I'm okay with the owner.
So Dan Ball, can I ask you, because I know you had the full document of all the teams open.
Yeah.
Who are the owners that are worse than Robert Kraft?
From an ownership perspective, there is three.
Okay.
So they got a D, right?
This year.
So you have two with D minus.
Oh, you're right.
Our previous losers, the Arizona Cardinals, get a D minus, as do the Carolina Panthers. No real surprise there.
Okay, Tepper.
One owner got an F this year, and that was noted Suns who run the team via Xbox.
Woody Johnson.
That's our guy.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Robert Kraft for beating a video game console.
Well, I mean, I guess the good news is back in the day it was the border war and everything was sort of measured on how you compete with the Jets. At least you still have a better owner than the Jets, although.
So we got that going for you.
Two owners in the maybe Josh Allen's girlfriend was right. Like the rest of the AFC East is just kind of also Rans, right? You got the Bills and then you got whatever she called them. Like,
okay, well, win a Super Bowl. Sweetheart.
I love when the Patriot comes out in Ted.
She's been nominated for an Oscar, Ted.
Show me your rings, bitch.
I love it.
Hey now, Andrew.
I love it.
Family show.
I love when Ted, see that right there? He bowed up. He was like, wait, I can question the Patriots, but you
Buffalo
can't.
They're flexing. It's like, come on, Buffalo fans.
You losers.
Look at me, really won.
Win something
first. Divisions.
Dan Ball, yes.
Buffalo got an F- for team travel this year, by the way.
Well, they are in Buffalo, so.
That's true. I think you're starting
in the frozen heart of the Ice King from Game of Thrones across the wall. So, and hey, by the way, I would like to point out, Andy, neat little nug here. There was a certain coach's now departed coach's brother who was retained by the team.
Oh yeah, you got to be.
How about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's good because I think that's most concerning. You can upgrade a room. You can upgrade a building. But if you keep the nutritionist and he's being voted as a D or an F, now you got questions. It's going to be the same plan. It's going to be the same activity. So that's concerning.
I know we need to get to They Said It, but I also...
Not running a tight ship.
The callers are very important to me. And so if I could, let me get to Cotto quick from Boston because Cotto's been hanging on for a while. Cotto, what's going on?
Good morning. So ever since I was growing up, the Patriots were a good football team. We've always won. And for the last 5 years since Tom Brady left, obviously things have been different. But you look at the organization, and it almost seems like everything that we're doing up until hiring Vrabel, and you could say drafting Drake May, has been a step backwards rather than a step forward. And it really frustrates me with the whole Elliot Wolf thing coming out. I know you guys are going to get to it later, but the whole Elliot Wolf thing coming out, it's like, look, you brought in a guy who has done nothing for our organization that has been correct. And you still retain him while you bring in Vrabel. And for him to say that he's got the final call, it just shows you how bad our organization is. And how the rebuilding process is not going in the right direction, because anybody in their right mind would have seen the job that he did with the roster last year, and they would have recognized that he's not qualified for the position and he doesn't know what he's doing. And
yeah,
Go ahead. No, I have a problem with the fact that we're continuously, you know, going to these games. Although, you know, for an awful football team.
Well, people are always going to show up.
I got to tell you, the last game of the season, I was there. Nobody showed up.
Yeah,
Tumbleweeds.
And I think you made the bothersome thing is you made the right move when it came to Mike Vrabel, but give the man the chance to cook. Don't deliver him a Ferrari and he opens up the hood and finds out that it's all held together with duct tape.
Greg, you know the crafts better than anybody. You have been like the fifth son. You know the family. You've been there since the beginning.
You could say that I've been there since the beginning.
Right.
As Robert once did, famously.
We're
happy to have the Hillman down at Patriot Place. You've been with us since the beginning.
Thank you, Robert.
So why are they so disconnected, detached from the reality they currently live in? Why are they allowing this to happen, especially at a time where he is so, dead set on getting into the Hall of Fame?
I wish that they were more like, nobody has ever said this probably about this particular owner, but I wish that they were more like Mark Davis in the sense where he's like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. Tom, take charge, and please, I'm going to hold you accountable and find a way for us to win. Like, yeah. I wish they were more like that.
Because I think Robert thinks that Jonathan's doing that. I think he thinks that Jonathan knows what he's doing, and that's why Jonathan, I believe, is holding the reins to this team. But if you go back to when Vrabel was hired, it was either Scheim or Curtis's lead. They said that the Crafts are going to rely on that to win back fans, and that's what we should all expect, that they think that the fans are going to sit happy, come back to Gillette, fill the stadium just because Mike Vrabel's the head coach.
There's no way. I think he's more like Al Davis than he is Mark Davis. But there's no way, because I think all eyes are on this offseason and free agency in the NFL on what they're going to do. I think people, you know, they're interested in the fourth overall pick, but I think the biggest concern and the biggest thing that fans are waiting for is, what are they going to do? Because we keep talking about how much money they have. What are they going to do when free agency starts? And I think it starts the second week in March.
But it's a waste of time. We're going to get to the Elliott Wolf stuff coming up. It's just a waste of time for people that are involved, the people being Mike Vrabel and Elliott Wolf and everybody else. If you have to sit there and try to stake your claim on, you know, if you have to pee on the shrubbery to mark your territory, it's a waste of time. And it just slows you down when it comes to progress.
But why, you know, the crazy thing about this, when you get into a measuring contest and you say those things.
I normally win.
You normally win.
Go ahead.
But there's always got to be a loser.
Go ahead.
But the thing that you, when you do that, and you do that, what he did publicly, you do that because you have confidence and.
Well, somebody's told you behind the scenes that you have confidence, like somebody was telling you, you know, in your private meetings with them behind the head coach's back, that you were the next guy. But if you say that, you also are trying to outwardly project that you're the person in charge.
Right.
When maybe that, you know. All right. So anyway, we're going to get to all that coming up momentarily. Real quick, let me just get to Walter from Boston, and then we'll move on here. Walter, good morning.
Hey, guys, everybody's waiting for this big money splash, like on this big, like, name receiver or something. I got a feeling with this offseason, it's going to be, they're going to use their capital to build up the offensive line, because this is a real good defensive line, running back, and tight end class. If they build up the line, sign Darius Slayton from the Giants, and build that way, they'll go to 8 wins next year. Then you get the big receiver. People are going to be so disappointed if they don't get one of these big guys. They're not going to give up a lot of draft capital for these guys.
Well, also, you know, it was a little, did you clench up a little bit yesterday when Elliott Wolf said it would be irresponsible to spend all of the cap money that they have available? Were you a little alarmed by that yesterday?
Because I get what Walter's saying. There's some good O linemen you can get in free agency, but in order to get, you know, the receiver, if they do tag T. Higgins, they're
going to have to trade for T. Higgins.
But
do you think they're doing a tag and trade on him?
No. But I would trade for, like,
you don't think they are?
No, not with T. Higgins, because you're going to have to give up too much to get him. But I would trade for, like, a Garrett Wilson, which might cost you a second-round pick. We talked about your boy out in the Rams, Cooper Kupp. Like, I think if you build your offensive line through free agencies, there are more guys available there. Najee Harris is a running back that's available in free agency. This Aaron Jones is available to some other guys. And if you use... the question is, that's why I said, are you going to be active in the trade market when it goes talking about trading for players?
The thing is, Greg, and I don't understand why these people don't get it. The only way you get people back on your side is by winning. Everything else is superfluous. So why don't you just focus on putting together a roster? Because if they're good this year, nobody's going to cite that they have ashtrays on aircraft.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to talk about how the dynasty ruined their feelings about Belichick's departure. They're only going to say, thank God the Patriots are back.
Yeah. Well, look, don't you feel like we're sitting here, don't you feel a change in the way the Red Sox are viewed?
Oh, yeah.
One signing changed everything.
That's all it took.
Yep.
And even, you know, Garrett Crochet, great trade. We'll talk to Craig Breslow about that and other things in 45 minutes that people were excited about it. But you go out and spend money and sign Alex Bregman, and the mood changes.
Imagine if John Henry posted that photo, or Linda posted John Henry with the Cohiba lighting up the cigar, and they didn't sign Bregman.
Yeah.
It would be a punchline,
right.
As opposed to something we're praising.
How good is Stiz at his job? He threw a little pause in there on the computer to replicate Jalen Polk false starting because he's a method actor back there.
He's the best in the business. That was literally Javon Baker stopping to wonder what happened to his career.
Absolutely.
Not everyone appreciates my subtlety.
It's tremendous. And not everyone appreciates Drake Maye's subtlety or not so subtlety. When I believe when you tell somebody to get your stuff together,
I think it's their job and they know to kind of get their stuff together.
That means you want to say the other word that we're not allowed to say. That's how I would say it on the radio. Starts with an S, ends with a T, says hi in the middle. That is like he's calling out his receivers.
Is that or is that not leadership? When you basically say like, hey guys, so now I have been entrusted to be atop the pecking order. I am now running the team. I need you guys to get in line or get out of the way.
It's leadership, yes. The positive side of this would be leadership. The negative side would be Drake Maye is worried if they're going to get their ish together. And if you don't get...
Because you were there last year. They had 13 combined catches, for God's sakes.
What happened to Jalen Polk is plug and play ready?
No one told you what game he was plug and play ready in.
Yeah, it's like you ever get a wire and you go to plug it into something and you're like, this doesn't fit this piece of electronics? Like, this looks like a figure eight and this is a square.
This is micro USB, but
right.
I needed USB-C.
That's what that was. Yes. That's exactly what he was plug and play ready.
As I plug in my computer.
He was an old school Apple charger in a new school world.
Right.
And
not a lot of lightning to his game.
So I see what you did there. See what you did there.
Gave myself one.
New truck has the fancy connectors too.
Does it really?
Yeah.
What's up? Now, new truck is like the love of your life, huh?
It should be. I'm going to be paying for a long time, much like the
what
love
color?
Of my life.
What like college and everything else. You're about to wade into a very potentially expensive part.
Yeah, when it's either going to be good or terrible.
When is the foundation for the
pool?
The infinity pool getting poured?
Yeah, next week. I already put the down payment down. I'm just waiting for the bonus we usually get.
Right.
I have the little model that I walk around with. It's great that Drake Maye is going to be a leader and is calling for those guys to get their stuff together.
Correct.
It's not great that he has to call for them to get their stuff together. I don't know where
does
I see it.
Does
fit
he
on that.
Need to? Don't they? Aren't they both painfully aware? Like, we have not read.
I don't know.
I shared with you last week that Mego did a thing for .com where she spoke to a skills and strength coach or a skills and fitness coach for Javon Baker, who said how disappointing that year was, but that his fundamentals and his basic talent is still absolutely there.
Did his mom and dad say
it
too?
But it's up to him to figure out a way to make it translate.
The best man at his wedding.
Sure.
Neighbor.
I mean,
his dog.
Dude, he's got the size, he's got the hands, he's got the speed.
Yeah, so do a lot of people. N'Keal Harry looked like Tarzan.
But you do not
couldn't even catch like James.
Guess what? N'Keal Harry isn't on the Patriots anymore. Javon Baker is for now.
Yeah, but N'Keal Harry, who was N'Keal Harry's guy? Footwork King? Or was that Mohamed Sanu?
No, that was Mohamed Sanu.
There's always
I'm
somebody.
Telling you, I don't want to go down this road now, but I'll at least turn the car towards it.
Let's go.
Mohamed Sanu would have been a much better Patriot if he didn't wreck his ankle filling in to return punts against the Eagles because they were so short-staffed.
He was never going to be the... Remember his phrase? He said, I'm both the juice and the squeeze.
Do you remember how
receivers
good he was in the first game?
Receivers shouldn't say dumb things.
How good was
Jalen
he in the first
Polk,
game?
Don't support us later if you're not going to support us now.
That was like a Jaren Duran thing.
I make people get up in wheelchairs.
That was Javon Baker.
The only person
Jalen
who ever
Polk said
something
he
like...
he had the best hands in the league.
The only person who ever said something like that and
Jesus Christ.
Should have. No, the Jesus Christ of deep threats in 2007.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss on his draft weekend conference call said, I'm about to show you things you've never seen up there. And he did. Mm-hmm. If you're not Randy Moss, Jelani Tavai thinks you should shut up, know your role, and do something before you talk.
Okay. Right?
Rookies should be seen and not heard, correct?
I would prefer...
We heard both of these two jackals before they had done a damn
one
thing.
One started speaking too early and then wasn't able to back it up. And then the other one started backtracking and excuse making.
Yeah, and neither contributed.
So they need to, so back to what Drake May said to Chris Long on Greenlight, they need to get their blank together.
Correct. But he also, Stiz, I don't know if you can re-rack the beginning of that. I also didn't like how he kind of tiptoed into it with something to the effect of, we bought into?
We bought into two rookie receivers, I think Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. That
okay.
I don't think.
Does that sound super supportive?
No, but can I also just say one thing? I don't think Drake May is not the most, like, articulate guy.
Well, he's pretty articulate.
No, he knows what he's saying, but, like, he just doesn't always land.
He bragged about it on our show.
Saying we bought into, though, does make you feel like.
That sounds weird.
I'm stuck with it.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I bought into it.
Bought into, just say we drafted.
It means somebody had to sell you on them at some point.
Right.
You think so?
Yes.
And that you didn't get what you bought into.
Yes.
There's an implication of failure to deliver, and now I'm kind of stuck with it. I bought into this.
Or was he told, like, he was sold a false bill of goods? Like, these are going to be your guys. Turns out they weren't his guys.
And now we're stuck with them. So now they got to get their ish together because I need one of them to get something done.
And that's what I was saying
me.
To you. They're on the team for now.
He doesn't believe in his wide receivers.
They have a mini camp and a training camp to prove that they belong on this team. One or both could easily be looking for work somewhere else.
Well, who's going to catch passes?
Well, they obviously have free agency in the draft coming up, too.
Everybody tells me nobody's going to get to free agency because there's so much money out there.
Do you expect a lot of competition to be brought into the wide receiver room via free agency in the draft?
Yeah. But it doesn't mean it's good. You brought in K.J. Osborne last year, and people tried to sell me on, oh, he's much better than a third receiver. He just needs an opportunity.
Those were Minnesota people selling us on that.
I stunk.
Where'd he end up, by the way?
Not here.
Yep.
Not good.
Thank goodness.
So, yeah, you could bring in another Javon Baker in the fourth round and a K.J. Osborne as a one-year signing. Did that increase the competition? Just because you throw numbers at a problem doesn't mean
someone's
you threw talent
gonna
at
have
it.
To earn the job.
That doesn't
so
mean
who the
you're
hell
good.
Is going to be your number one wide receiver?
That's what Drake May's saying here. I think he has no faith in what's around him right now. He keeps saying very positive things, as he should, about Hunter Henry and, by extension, what's his name?
Kayshon Booty or Austin Hooper?
Austin Hooper.
Hoopa.
Hopefully he'll be brought back.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't think he has a smidgen of faith. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think he's got a smidgen of faith in Kayshon Booty. I do think he has some there. And I think he might be intrigued by what a healthy Kendrick Bourne could be. But the two guys he's supposed to be building with, you threw two draft picks, second and fourth, at a problem last year. And I think it's still a problem. And I think your quarterback acknowledged that on the Greenlight podcast with Chris Long.
So how much? So let's ask aloud. No one's gonna.
Let's ask these, silently.
That all right? Let's just think about it for a second. This is
see
great
if the
for
listeners
radio.
Get it.
You guys on board?
These cool. are not the droids you're looking for.
So this is not going to be something Mike Vrabel or Elliot Wolf will probably speak to when they both have their respective combine meet and greets tomorrow and Wednesday. How much input do you think Drake May is going to have or be given in terms of receivers via free agency and the draft? Like, who he likes, who looks like his guy? Zero?
0.0.
Tough-ish.
I mean, you
play with who we get
do
you,
do we really need
get.
His mind?
Well, I mean,
no
here
offense,
he is speaking
Drake.
Out. Like,
we got Josh McDaniels.
Do you think
we got
the Patriots were happy about this podcast?
I don't think they cared. No. I think we are looking deeper than they would have. And honestly, I think we're the only ones. I haven't heard a lot of people really break down this comment that I found a bit alarming's too strong a word. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's just say interesting. I think there are some interesting words chosen here. And I don't give him the out that you do. I think he's a smart guy and he says things intentionally. Like all along when he keeps saying Mike Vrabel has coached somewhere else, I think that'll be good for us. I think he's saying that intentionally. He dealt with
I
the
think
idiocy
he's a little verbally
of last
clumsy
year.
Time,
oh,
times.
I don't.
Andy was also looking into the Vrabel welcome letter. What was that? A few weeks ago where Vrabel had some particular
yeah.
wording that Andy...
when he was looking for loyalty and whatever among his coaches, that's intentional. When you say these things and you
sure.
do this as much as... Remember when Drake May... Stiz, you may not remember, but you, Dan, whoever. Remember when Drake May kind of bragged about his ability to address the media? I've been doing it a long time. Even in high school, I had to do it. It goes with the job. He kind of... I fluffed him up and he
agreed with the assessment, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. It was just like, I'm the quarterback, I'm the leader, right. I'm supposed to be good at these things, right. I've been doing it a while. Kind
Correct.
Of. He said it fast and it was hard to understand, per usual.
Yes, there was a little
That's
bit
of this is what I'm saying.
So but, then when you say, we bought into, they need to get their stuff together.
He said that intentionally. I don't think that's an accident. He's calling out his young receivers, and I also think he's calling out the team in a way. Well, we bought into him. I'm the jackal out there stuck with them in the middle of the field having to throw to these guys who don't know where to line up, who don't know how to get
well,
open.
Well, if he's going
to
talk like that, then I'm sure receivers, coaches, offensive coordinators, or hard-ass vibed head coaches are probably going to have a talking to with him. Like, hey, guess what? That's cool and all. We agree with you, but also maybe STF shut your pie hole. You? Yeah, shut your pie hole. We don't need you getting out there in the media and saying that to former Patriots on their podcast.
Or is he doing it just subtly enough and just strongly enough to balance it out? To say something without saying too much.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it didn't go viral. In this day and age, isn't that the sort of the barometer? Mm-hmm. It didn't go viral.
It didn't make SportsCenter. They didn't lead on NFL Network.
I didn't see anybody write about it. Blog? Was there a single blog? And we got bloggers out the wazoo around here.
Out the wazoo, straight out.
Did anybody blog and say...
No, because he used...
Drake May calls out fellow second-year players.
In one hand, a compliment, and the other hand, a criticism.
Perfect.
Kill him with kindness.
Perfect. He balanced it out. 617-779-7937. I want to go to our buddy Joe because...
Old Melrose Joe.
I don't think he believes me. Joe and Melrose, I can absolutely bench 225 more than 10 times. I did it yesterday.
I wanted to see you post that on your Twitter account.
Oh, it's coming. Joe, if I hit 15, you owe me $100.
Maybe $1.
Okay,
that?
$1.
All right.
Miller Lite.
And 100 pennies, Joe. We're going to get this video sometime this week. Andy is going to have to do sometime in the next 10 days.
I definitely want to see that because that is a lot stronger than I think you look.
So, Joe, real quick.
Well,
that's
a double shot, Joe.
Well, that's all right. It's fine. You know, a double red eye. Joe, while we have you, your draft thoughts.
Well, I think they got to trade down from 4. I mean, when I look at, I do the draft simulators, and every time you, I mean, if you just stick and pick, you don't know, you know, like I would take Will Campbell. Like maybe if Abdul Carter falls to a 4, then you can take Ursary, the Minnesota left tackle, in the top of the second round. But the thing is, if you trade down, and I think this is the Andy Hart plan, actually, you trade down from the first round pick, you can pick, basically get back to 3 4, second round picks. So you have, like, instead of having a first round pick and a second round pick, you have 4 second round picks, and then you pick up 2, you know, 2 maybe 3 second round picks from next year. If you just keep trading back, now, I mean, I'm obviously not, I have no fear of trading, like, if the Jets want to give up 7 and a bag, if they want to get a quarterback, I have no fear of that. Or if Miami at 13 wants to trade up, so for whatever reason, Travis Hunter falls to you, you trade back and you give up a bag. Like, I mean, maybe the Patriots would think twice about that. But I have no problem trading within the division. But I think if you trade back, you pick up a bunch of second-round picks this year and even 2 or 3 next year, and it's just a better way to go. The Patriots have way too many holes to fill that with just 2 picks. So.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
Ooh, that got circuitous. It's a lot of bag trading. And
yeah. I don't know what bags you're getting for the 4th pick. The bag went out the window when you beat the Bills.
By the way, I got a few people texting me that are listening at home. You fluffed up Drake May?
Yeah. I praised him.
That was a weekly occurrence, by the way. It happened once
Excuse
on a couch.
Excuse me? No.
It happened once on a couch, and then he never was in person again.
It's true. There's some truth.
He fluffed
that.
Drake May on the couch.
Easy. Truth.
That is
easy.
The truth.
It's praising. It's a synonym for praising.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you need to make it anything less than it is. We do need
Andy's
to...
Andy's the fluffer on the set.
We're not doing that. Stiz, rack that again, please, because we're being questioned.
Racks and fluffs. What's going on to this show?
I'm inspired by Bruno Mars.
It's ever since you got this new damn truck.
It's true. I live in a different world now. So, Stiz, the very beginning, can you play that Drake May one more time?
We bought into 2 rookie receivers.
Stop. Play it again, please. Not to be a dictator.
We bought into 2 rookie receivers.
So what does he say there, Stiz?
We bought into 2 rookie receivers.
We bought into 2 okay. rookie receivers.
So Texter, who says, guys, he said we brought in, not bought. No.
Wait a minute. Wait. Let's do that one more time.
It's bought.
Hold on.
We bought into 2 rookie
receivers. No, yeah, that's definitely bought.
No, we bought into. Bought in. Thank you. That's
but
a different meaning.
Why is it bought into?
Because we bought
they were
into
sold
it.
The bill of goods?
Yeah. I bought into this pyramid scheme, thought I was going to get rich.
You would never.
Now I'm stuck on the freaking.
You would never say it when it ended in a positive. I'm trying to think, like, literally. anytime any of us
bought
have
into this damn condo association, timeshare cost me more money than it's worth.
You would never, it would never have a happy ending.
Well, I bought into the idea of working on the weekends.
Well, I know. I think you could say we bought into Twitter before it blew up, and you made a boatload of money, right? Couldn't you?
No, but that's a different. That
I bought into Herbalife.
This is more of a metaphorical buy-in.
Yes,
that's how I. That's how I look at it. When I bought into something, and I say that later, it's negative. I was screwed. I was bamboozled. Mm-hmm. He feels bamboozled. And Hoodwink. He, by the way, I would also say, interestingly, and this is where Fitzy, you might be right, is he might get a talking to. We bought into. Now you're talking for the whole team.
Who's the we?
Oh, like
the previous offensive coordinator, the previous head coach, the previous organization,
the
overall
GM slash previous GM.
I'm a fan. I don't think that's his place.
He's the quarterback of the New England Patriots. He's the face of the franchise. And for a period of
time, early. How many games did he start and win?
Well, he won one. I mean, he technically won three, I believe, but he really won one.
Okay.
W-O-N-O-N.
Yes.
He won one.
Then one might want to pipe down a little bit before.
He's won more NFL games than you or I.
We are not the quarterback of the team.
You ready for a Patriots power struggle, Keith?
I don't want to be. I don't want to be ready for that. But maybe that's what we're going to get. Yesterday was kind of strange. Late in the show, we got some new tidbits from what's going on there in Foxborough, and it did surprise me a little bit.
You think it's a power struggle? Is that too strong? Am I laying it on too thick already? We're only seconds into the show. Am I too strong?
Once again, once you replace a guy like Bill Belichick, who you know makes all the decisions, as soon as you do that, there's going to be questions. Now, last year, there was even questions around this time. Was Elliott Wolf going to make the final decision? We certainly didn't think it was going to be Gerard Mayo. We just wondered, would it be Elliott Wolf? Would it be Matt Groh? Would it be the Kraft? Like, who's in charge? Like, somebody has to make those decisions. And Elliott Wolf stays on the staff, but I was pretty convinced, and I'm still leaning this way. Like, if I have to pick here in the end of February, I'll say Mike Vrabel gets the guys he wants. He wins the big, you know, if there's a difference of opinion between Vrabel and Wolf, I feel like Vrabel's going to get his guy. But Wolf kind of painted it in a different picture yesterday.
So you're wavering a little bit.
Well, yeah, because he was just kind of like, he was finally asked. Because he was asked about, like, does he have final say like he did last year? And he gave a non-answer. And then when he was asked again, he was like, yeah, it's me. So is that just to sort of stop more questions? Is it to protect his own pride, right? Like, you have the same role, but you don't have any of the responsibility, or at least the same responsibility. That's kind of tough. So maybe you don't want to say that publicly. Or does he really have final say? Like, again, I'm picking Vrabel right now. And I think we'll see. They can play this fun game like Wolf was like, there's not Wolf guys or Vrabel guys. No. There's Patriot guys. It's like, okay.
Yeah, no, you know what always works? A GM who has no relationship with the head coach, who didn't pick the head coach, right, and the head coach who didn't pick the GM, and now they disagree over a player, that always just works out.
It's like Chaim Bloom and Alex Cora.
Bingo. Yeah, no, there were Red Sox guys. There weren't Alex guys and Chaim guys. No. So that is a way of working itself out. And I already see in the Twitch chat, and it's fair. What was wrong with Wolf's comments? Maybe he's being truthful. Yeah, I do ultimately have final say. I'm gonna work with Mike. I'm happy to work with Mike.
But do we want that?
Thank you. That's what's wrong with it.
I don't want that.
What if Elliott Wolf is still in charge? That's horrible.
I don't want the guy that said with a straight face last year that their offensive line was good enough to protect their quarterback. He said that multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he was saying, oh, every time those guys got hit, I felt bad. It's like, well, you should have invested more into the offensive line. He's the same guy that drafted Jalen Polk, and then after the season was like, I thought he was going to be plug and play. Thought we were going to get more out of him. It's like everybody outside of Drake May was essentially a disaster. Sliding scale of a disaster. The linemen were okay, but they also got banged up.
Joe Milton.
Two quarterbacks.
Yeah, two quarterbacks. Yeah.
He can identify quarterbacks. Unfortunately, now you're not going to have to draft a quarterback for a while. So the one position he can identify, if you even want to give him that credit. No, I was hoping that Mike Vrabel coming in here was sort of a new wave of player personnel as well. Because as important as the new coaching staff is, let's be honest, this is one of the least talented rosters in the NFL. They need an overhaul. Do we think that the guy that put the roster together last year is the one that's going to get him out of this, 4-13 type of season? I don't.
No, I don't either. And so that would be my real fear. Wolf is still in charge. He said it yesterday. Vrabel said he wouldn't be here if he didn't have the power 2 days ago. That's not, I'm in charge.
Yeah,
Wolf
weird.
Said, I have final say. So that should be scary. Who's in charge? Who should be in charge of the Patriots? You can jump in all day long here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and the text line as well. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Stay tuned for our latest Jones and Keefe Combine Challenge.
Combine rolls on.
Combine rolls on. Billy Lanny continues to be a strong prospect.
Man.
Keefe.
Top five pick easy, Lanny, I think.
Keefe continuing his comeback bid.
It was a tough couple of days for your boy.
So keep an eye on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe for the latest there. We'll touch on it later in the show. You can watch along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Always a healthy chat on Twitch. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. Keefe, you had the idea kind of juxtaposing some of what Mike Vrabel had to say on Tuesday and some of what Elliott Wolf had to say yesterday. And I think with some of the news out there on T. Higgins, it's relevant whether or not the Patriots are going to spend. Chad Graff today said the Patriots will not be in on T. Higgins. They don't think he's worth $30 million a year. We can dive deeper into that coming up in a moment. But that's a red flag about spending. So let's hear from Vrabel the other day, and then we'll play Wolf after, and we'll try to read between the lines on if the Patriots are actually going to spend in free agency this year, and who's that up to? Probably neither of these guys.
No, I was going to say that they might both be in agreement on this.
So let's try to glean something here. Here's Vrabel from Tuesday on free agency.
Hopefully aggressive. I mean, we want to be aggressive. We want to target players that we feel like are going to help us. They're going to be outstanding players. They're going to be outstanding additions to the locker room and the community. And if that all fits and the compensation fits, but I'm confident that we'll be aggressive. We've started some of those discussions internally, and I think having different plans and having an option A and option B, I mean, things are going to change. Everybody's looking at the same players, so we have to be ready to pivot and adjust and have a vision for each player, I would say, at each level. You know, I mean, there's going to be this high level that things are going to get done very quickly. That'll transition then to, you know, maybe just some mid-range dollars, and then obviously you look at opportunity. So free agency gets broken down into, you know, compensation, and then it gets broken down into opportunity. And I feel like we're in a position to offer both as far as compensation and opportunity for some of these players.
Okay, we like that answer.
Yeah.
He said he's confident they'll be aggressive.
Well, he also says hopefully. Right off the rip, he says hopefully. Uh-huh. And he also makes a point in there where he mentions the compensation, and he's like, we should be able to be competitive there or whatever. So that, to me, is one thing Vrabel and Wolf can definitely agree on. They can both like a player, but if Robert Kraft says, well, I draw the line here, then it doesn't even matter who Vrabel or Wolf likes, because Kraft's going to be the one that pulls the plug.
Like, I don't know, T. Higgins? Like, no. Oh, well, you know, we like the player. Great. Robert, he's going to need more than $30 million a year. No, not happening.
So then, yeah, at that point, it doesn't matter how they viewed the player.
Hopefully aggressive. Mm-hmm. Confident will be aggressive. Compensation and opportunity, we can offer both. That was Vrabel on Tuesday. Let's hear from Wolf yesterday. Again, we played this late in the show on their spending to the cap this offseason.
Cap space this offseason. Do you expect to spend up to the cap
spot?
Stop.
Stop.
Right away.
No.
That's a bad sign for where this is going.
Well, I think they both learned the lesson of Gerard Mayo last year. Burn some cash is a great line. Love burning cash.
Maybe that is what it is.
But
maybe
they're like, we're going to get called into the principal's office.
Oh, crap. Here's the burn some cash question.
And I think, not that these guys pay attention to all what the other GMs and owners and team presidents say, but if you say something like full throttle, we're going to hold you to it,
yep,
and we're going to bring it up all the time and then point out how you have, in fact, not gone full throttle. You have, in fact, not burned cash. So I think both Vrabel and Wolf are talking about like how hopeful they are for free agency, but they're not making any false promises.
Don't by rule they need to spend this offseason, though? They need to spend a certain percentage of the cap, and they haven't done it?
Yes, they do have to spend X number of dollars, but I don't think they have to go like to the actual cap number or whatever.
And you'll hear Wolf. I mean, this to me is a scarier answer out of the two. Like, Vrabel says, hopefully we'll be aggressive. Here's what, after Wolf gave his big giant, here's what he actually said.
Do you expect to spend up to or close to up to the cap spot?
I just think we're going to do what we have to do. You know, I think it's probably not responsible to spend the whole thing. But again, that's not to say we won't do it if there's a player out there that you know, or obviously players out there that can fill a role for us.
No, okay. I want them to save money. I want them to keep saving money. They clearly save money when it comes to the team plane, and they save money when it comes to the family care and everything else, the weight room. They're saving money there. Save money on the roster too. Don't bring in great players. Don't overspend in free agency. That's bad business.
Save a little. Save it. Squirrel some more. You have $120 million in cap space. Make sure you save some of that.
Wolf said the same crap last year.
Yeah.
We could probably go find it. He has the exact same comments about, like, yeah, we could spend or save. And I remember when he said that, I'm like, save? Like, what do you have, like a high interest savings yield? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, we're going to open a Roth IRA is what we're going to do. And so you hear Wolf there, and I'm like, that doesn't sound like a guy who thinks they're going to spend. Like,
no.
And the way I would interpret that is overextending for a player at the top of the market. I think they're going to spend money mid-tier. Like, Vrabel's talked a lot about mid-tier free agents and being flexible and being able to pivot, and Wolf echoed some of that. And it's like, that sounds like middle-class, not upper-class free agency. So they might spend
some cash.
They might
love
that. Not that.
I love that.
They might spend on, like, 10 mid-tier free agents instead of two or three premium ones, if that makes sense.
I mean, they do have a lot of needs. There's more than one way to attack this thing.
There is.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I thought listening to Wolf yesterday. And then you get Chad Graff today. In The Athletic, New England's blueprint for the offseason does not include pursuing T. Higgins, the number one free agent to be on The Athletic's top 150 big board. As the Patriots are reshaped in Mike Vrabel's likeness, they want to prioritize building through the offensive and defensive lines. We've heard this before.
Yeah.
And they'll make their goal, make that goal number one of the offseason.
This is from Chad Kraft.
Chad Graff.
Oh, yes, Graff, right.
I know, Chad Graff, exactly.
Chad Graff.
So expect their biggest free agent signings to come in the trenches, not at wide receiver. Now, that's free agent signings.
Okay.
He goes on to detail that, you know, they're going to dive into the trade market. They're going to focus on the trenches.
Yeah.
But they're out on T. Higgins, and it's like, listening to Wolf yesterday, I feel like you could hear that coming. Elliot Wolf's like, yeah, we're going to save some here. We don't want to be irresponsible with it. So they think T. Higgins is a good player to a point. They're not going to spend $30-plus million. They don't think he's worth $30-plus million.
So it's $30-plus million plus draft picks. So as much as I like T. Higgins, I can understand this not being the avenue you want to go down, because if you're spending a lot of money on him, fine. I think that's fine. Like, if it was one or the other, I could see why it would make sense. But both, that's why maybe you look. There are a lot of names that are out there. Just a couple in free agency, talking about receivers, but then there's also a bunch of trade options out there as well. So I could see, like, if it's not T. Higgins, like, okay, I'm not going to freak out until we get to the end of it. And if you start camp with, you know, Pop Douglas and Kayshon Boutte as your top receivers, and you haven't really spent a lot of money, like, oh, trenches, that's great. Talk about the trenches. But get guys that are play there. Like, get good player, like elite players that play there. Then I'll be okay with not getting T. Higgins.
So I'm with you. Like, I need to see how the offseason looks. But in real time, I'm annoyed they're, like, already drawing a line in the sand on Higgins. Like, that's frustrating. But he was never my number one guy. I had kind of moved on once I saw the Bengals were going to tag him. Now, if he gets traded and the compensation's low and the contract is manageable, then I'll kick and scream about it. But he was never at the top of my list. I would push back on anybody who's been talking about T. Higgins for months and wanted him and had him at the top of the list. And then it's like, oh, yeah, he's not worth $30 million. Like, I would critique that commentary. But for me personally, I think there's at least one better receiver, I think, on the market. I prefer Metcalf to T. Higgins. And I would have paid the trade compensation as opposed to just signing Higgins. Higgins has had soft tissue injuries. He has been a number two in Cincinnati. Not his fault, but you don't know that he's a true number one. You don't know that. So I'm not as upset about Higgins. But, yeah, talk to me at the end of the offseason. If they get nobody and it's a bunch of mid-level players, and they sat out the Higgins market before it really even got into full swing, I will retroactively be frustrated. But in real time, I'm going to give them an opportunity to figure out the receiver room, figure out the trenches, figure out how they're going to spend their money.
So I think the Vrabel-Wolf dynamic is an interesting one, obviously. And I think a player like T. Higgins is really not up to them. Like, to your point, like, I think that's where Robert Kraft's like, nope, we're not doing that. So then those guys have to go somewhere else. That's why Vrabel's talking about plan A, plan B, and all that kind of thing. But take the draft, for example. Last year, it was kind of a no-brainer. Sure, there was the occasional, like, oh, Joe Alt, Marvin Harrison, whatever. But they needed a quarterback. It was a three-quarterback draft. They took the third quarterback. So that's kind of easy.
Mm-hmm.
This year, way different. Like, depending on how the board falls, and Elliot Wolf said yesterday, there's a lot more uncertainty now. He's right, because last year, you're like, Caleb Williams is going one, and then it's either going to be May or Daniels, and then you get either May or Daniels. Now, do two quarterbacks go ahead of you? One, none, trades, like, who's even taking players? So you're mean to tell me that
there's more skill to this draft this year as an executive.
But there's also way more opinions to be had.
Mm-hmm.
So if Mike Vrabel and Elliot Wolf are in there and Vrabel's like, Abdul Carter's there, let's run to the board. And he's like,
Travis Hunter's there, or we got a call from so-and-so to trade down. Let's do that. That's where it becomes fascinating, like right off the rip.
No, it's true. And if we're being fair, they're going to build along the trenches. Who does that sound like?
Vrabel.
That sounds like Vrabel.
Yeah, Vrabel.
So for all my fears about Wolf saying, I'm the guy, and
I don't know what Wolf's thing is, though. Well, I don't even know.
Don't we know it wasn't the trenches last
year?
Bad
receivers.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because, like, we're killing him now, but walking away from the draft, not the players, but the positions they took, I thought he did a good job.
Me too. It was a bunch of offensive players. They got their quarterback. They got an O-line, and they got a wide receiver.
As the texter points out, it's like you take Ladd McConkey instead of Jalen Polk. We're talking about this a lot differently.
Oh.
But you took Polk, not McConkey.
Imagine. All you had to do is just sit there and take the obvious guy.
You don't have to get fancy. Just take Ladd McConkey. And if you had Drake May and Ladd McConkey after last year's draft,
be a nice start.
Oh, then we're not even talking about this. We're like, yeah, let Vrabel pick the guy. Let Wolf pick the guys, whatever. Like, that is such a dramatic swing to miss out on maybe the best rookie receiver from last year and instead take maybe the worst rookie receiver.
Yeah. Well, that's Elliot Wolf for you, who still, by the way, might be in charge. 617-779-7937. Do we have the makings of a power struggle here in New England? It doesn't normally go well. We're getting a lot of texts. You guys are reading into things. I can't believe how much you're reading into those comments. What? It doesn't usually work out well when the personnel guy and the head coach didn't come in together, didn't pick each other, don't have a relationship with one another.
Well, think about this. Like, who's picking the fourth pick or the fourth overall pick? Whose choice is that?
Good question.
I'm less interested in seventh-round pick or undrafted free agent or who's going to be the next gunner on the team. I'm less interested in that. That could be Elliot Wolf or all I want. But the fourth pick in the draft, that is massive. And are we going to get a, you know, Bill Parcells, like, hey, they want you to cook the dinner, you got to shop for the groceries? Or, like, are you going to get a guy that gets the players that he wants? Like, we'll see.
We will see.
Time for a quick back and forth on what was said yesterday. Shime, are we beginning with Elliot Wolf?
Of course we are, Greg. From one meat to a carnivore himself, or what the animal would be a carnivore, is his last name. That's a terrible comparison. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm going to just
what
reset. Yeah, I just had total mess.
The cut. If he could just introduce the cut.
You tried.
I need that back right now.
We will never find that drop, ever.
We require some illustrative analogy. Yeah. I appreciate the effort.
Alliterations aside.
Yeah, I got to workshop that one.
That was going to chalk that one up to being just terrible. Here's Elliot Wolf talking about how he has roster control.
Just to clarify, do you have final say on the 53-man roster?
Ultimately, it's my final say. But again, Mike said it yesterday. Mike wouldn't have taken this job, and you know, this is something we talked about in the interview process. Mike wouldn't have taken this job if we weren't comfortable with each other. There's not going to be Mike's guys or Elliot's guys. They're going to be Patriot guys, and we're excited to share the vision to work together to improve the roster.
Go away. That's cap.
I mean, this is a problem. I don't think it's a problem for Mike Vrabel because he's a steamroller kind of guy, and I don't think he has time for it, and I don't think he suffers fools gladly. So, Mike Vrabel, the day before, we talked about it afterwards, said, yeah, you know, I talked to the personnel guys. He didn't mention Elliot Wolf by name. Mike Vrabel's not looking at you as having final roster control. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Wiggy brought it up during his lead. It's a problem that I guess is going to persist. It's like you're just bringing somebody in, and you've got this dude hanging around who you brought in prior to Mike Vrabel, and so I guess you had to give him the power, but now it's going to be a back and forth thing.
Major problem. I don't care what people say.
You think it's major?
Yeah, because here's what's going to happen, right? And he could say all he wants, Elliot Wolf. He could say all he wants. We're on the same page. We're collaborative. Like, yeah, those are all the great things. But, you know, being around football basically my whole life, it's going to come to a point, even like how we debated, like Curtis and I, or you and Curtis, you're going to have one guy that you like better than he does. And in this position, Elliot's going to go, I like Abdul Carter at number four.
Right.
And Mike Vrabel might go, and this is just an example, I like Travis Hunter better at number four. Here's how he helps our team. And then Elliot Wolf is, here's how Abdul helps our team, and it becomes a back and forth, but at the end of the day, somebody has to make the final decision on which one of these two guys are we going to take. And if Elliott Wolf is saying, hey, we're going to take my guy, that's why Vrabel got into it or had the issues in Tennessee.
That's exactly the problem, is right. He had the same issue at his last job.
And that became a major problem. So if anybody doesn't see this as a major problem, forget about whistling past the graveyard.
Devil's advocate, could he just be saying, I heard the noise that everybody had last year with Jerod Mayo, and people were saying, well, that's a Jerod Mayo guy, that's an Elliott Wolf guy, and I want to nip that in the bud before we even start here, and there's not going to be that this year.
So
there's not
going to
be I'm just saying devil's advocate.
But why say at the end of it, I got the final say?
Because he was putting his D on the table.
Nip in the butt?
Bud.
Oh, well, okay. I couldn't tell. I usually
like to give it a little bit of D, a little bit of T in case it goes either way.
Greg, leave that to Wiggy.
And let's move past this, please.
Yes, yes.
What I would say, Courtney and everyone, is this is what it sets up. Let's just use Wiggy's analogy. Elliott Wolf wants Abdul Carter. Mike Vrabel wants Travis Hunter. Then guess what? All year, one of them's going to be better than the other, and whoever was right is going to be going up to Robert saying, see? What's this idiot doing?
Right.
I said we should have taken this guy. We took that guy.
No, I mean, I understand the reviews are not great when it comes to Bill as a general manager, and you can argue that all day long.
He was awful.
But that, well, I wouldn't say awful.
That's why they have the worst roster in the NFL. Oh,
okay. What I was going to say is that's the model that works best.
Right.
Is the head coach makes the decisions on the guys that play for him.
Yeah.
And it's the power grabs and the, you know, I want Greenland. It just leads to problems. Mm-hmm. So it is concerning. Wiggy says it's a huge problem.
Yeah.